Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Monday, April the 17th. We hope springtime is on the way where you live, if it isn't there already. Spring, do you know, where does spring rank on your seasonal calendar as far as likes and
fall?
How do you rank it?
Fall is number one.
Well, fall is number one for what reason?
I just grew up in New England and loved fall weather. It was when the sweaters came out. It was football weather. The leaves turned bright colors. And it wasn't
fall
freezing
cold. Fall is a beautiful season.
Yeah. Wasn't freezing cold. Now, there's not much of a fall down here in the South in terms of the way I grew up. But it's still number one. Spring's number two. Winter used to be number three, but it's fallen to number four now. Just because it's cold. Age.
Yeah.
It's just, I just don't like being freezing cold anymore.
I don't think there is winter in heaven.
Well, I don't think there's any changes, no seasonal changes in heaven.
At all?
Period. No. It's just a beautiful.
Steve Jordahl, good morning. Steve, we're not going to leave you out of this conversation.
No, I'm just
Are there
listening.
Seasonal changes in heaven?
Well, if you're a skier, you hope so.
If you're what?
Well, listen, skier.
Let me just
ski.
Let me just
ski. I thought you'd say if you're scared.
No, skier, ski, S-K-I-I-E-R.
Let me throw this out, right. And this is a theological bottle rocket.
Oh, yeah, okay? Yeah.
All right? Everyone always, Christians frequently interpret the Bible to mean that heaven is our final destination.
Ah.
And it's not. The new heavens and the new earth are our final destination, according to the book of Revelation. When heaven comes down, the city of God, to be joined to the creation that God made. So in the new heavens and the new earth, there may be some seasonal variation. There may be skiing.
Well, actually,
I don't know, but
I have a feeling that the skiers are going to be disappointed there too, because doesn't the Bible say that God flattens the lands, there's no mountains, and... Am I misreading that?
Well,
I'm staying out of this.
Whether that is literal or metaphorical.
As a skier, I'm going to say it's metaphorical.
Mountains were oftentimes used to denote world leaders and kingdoms. And when God says he will raise the mountains and, you know, lower every high place.
R-A-Z-E.
R-A-I-Z-E.
How do you spell raise, like tear down?
R-A-Z-E-D. There's R-A-I-S-E, and then there's R-A-Z-E. So, anyway, I didn't mean to bring...
No, I'm just asking.
Theological.
So
that might be a reference to God humbling the proud.
Yeah, okay.
In the prophetic books.
Which would also be me on the ski slopes, because I'm not that good.
You humble yourself,
I do.
Steve.
Yes. I do. And injure myself.
Don't blame this on God.
There won't be any injuries, though.
Don't blame this on God.
Yeah.
Hey, can I take a quick left turn? You corrected, and apparently you are absolutely correct. I have been mispronouncing Anheuser-Busch my whole life. I grew up pronouncing it Anheuser-Busch. We were raised in New England. We mispronounce all kinds of stuff. My dad, before he became a Christian, was a big Bud drinker, and he pronounced it Anheuser. And I guess I was wrong. I've looked it up in several places. You showed me. I didn't really believe you, Steve, so I looked it up on my own.
Smart man.
Anheuser. Yeah. I've been mispronouncing it all this time. So my apologies to you people who are listening to this program and screaming at the radio because I mispronounced.
I'm deeply ashamed that I knew that.
Anheuser-Busch.
Anheuser.
They used to be Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
But they've sold to some German company, Ed said. I think
they are owned by a German, so it's now part of a conglomerate.
I'm kind of excited today, guys.
What brings this excitement?
Because you were able to correct me.
No. That does bring me no joy. I won the lottery over the weekend. I won $3 million.
You won $3 million.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Good for you.
I gave a quarter to charity, though. So you know, there's that.
You gave. I'm not following this conversation.
I won $3 million and I gave a quarter to charity.
25 cents.
So now I have $2,999,000.75. So
that's getting into JJ Jasper territory for coins.
I've been accused of that several times lately. I'm kind of, that's kind of an honor to me.
So. I'm sorry. What happened the last minute? I can't even, I don't even have the capacity to catch up with you guys.
Yeah, not worth it.
Okay, well, let's move on.
All right. I do have some fairly serious stuff that I'd like to talk to you guys about, and we need to be praying. The president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Al Mohler, who we know at this ministry, was admitted over the weekend to Louisville Hospital. He had bilateral pulmonary emboli, which means a blood clot in both lungs. That could be deadly. Latest word is he says he is recovering and excellent. Responding well to treatment and looking forward to returning, but just keep Al Mohler in your prayers.
Yes, a friend of the ministry, one of the giants on the Christian and / cultural stage in terms of fighting for biblical values and for the gospel. So we just wanted folks to know that we asked them to pray for Al Mohler.
And I've checked in with my contacts at the Southern Baptist Convention to get an update. If I have one tomorrow, I'll bring that in.
Okay.
I've been talking lately about artificial intelligence, and there's been a lot of warnings lately that it could go too far, that it's a danger, that it's out for its own interest if it ever became self-aware and everything. I've got a little example here of why it's probably not a good idea, or at least we need to put fences around it. It's a little closer to home. It's not what might happen in the future. This is happening right now. And there is a company called Hereafter AI. And what it does is it recreates. You remember, was it Thursday or Wednesday, whatever it was last, we played that Hillary Clinton AI?
Yes.
And it sounded exactly and looked exactly like. They are doing that same thing with your past loved ones, with the loved ones that passed away, your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad. They died, and now you want to keep talking to them. So this AI company will recreate them and have them have whole conversations with you that never happened before, all new conversations based on what AI has figured out about your loved one. And I'm just saying that cannot be healthy. That to me is a clear and present danger to those who apply to this, who are using this.
My personal opinion on artificial intelligence is I am less concerned with the capacity of AI to become self-aware. I'm not sure that's actually possible. That's my opinion. I think the other dangers of AI are the deep fake that you're talking about, where it will get so good that the CGI and the voice mimicry will get so good. It'd be very difficult to tell a video of a politician or a person from the real thing. And then the disruptive nature of artificial intelligence to our economy. I think it's going to grow so quickly. Its capability is going to grow so quickly and so vastly and so quickly that you will see a lot of people just losing jobs because AI can do it more quickly, more efficiently, more effectively. And that's going to be a disruption on the scale of the Industrial Revolution times 10.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. But anyway, that's my opinion.
Think of this, though. Say you're a mom or a dad, and God forbid, but you lose a child, and you're trying to recover from that grief, from that tragic loss. It's never going to be the same. Your life is going to be changed irrevocably. I mean, ask JJ. But what if you were given the chance now to continue a relationship in artificial intelligence with that person?
It's hard to tell the difference, in other words.
If it was your wife who was talking to your daughter or your son who had passed away, you would desperately want your wife to heal. You want her to accept what's happened and mourn healthfully. But she keeps going back and talking to her daughter or son. What she thinks is. I mean, maybe she doesn't even at the first realize. And she knows it's not. But it's still that touch that she longs and needs to get past it. And to me, that's incredibly damaging.
It is, because it's very similar in nature to seances.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And here's the danger. If you don't know God, the capacity for AI to increase the deception under which you live will grow. And you don't know where your child is. You have no idea if there is an afterlife. Now, that we're talking about, you don't know God. You don't know Jesus Christ. You can get, I don't think the vast majority of people will go down that road, but it is one more way in which the devil can hook somebody into the darkness of
deception. It's got to be tempting, though, for anybody. I mean, because it's so realistic. I can just see it's just...
It probably would be, for a lot of people, comforting the way watching old videos would be.
Except you're having new content with old videos. Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know how many people are going to be really that confused by that. Any of those kind of things are a danger for a certain percentage of people. But I think it just postpones healing.
I agree.
You know,
I'm going to be talking to some mental health professionals today if I can get a hold of them and have a story.
I would be interested to hear what they have to say about that.
Yep. All right. We have also been talking about the Twitter files here quite a bit. And these are the discoveries that Elon Musk made when he bought Twitter. And he opened up the internal documents to some reporters, Matt Taibbi, Mark Schellenberger, two of them, and others, who have gone in and looked at these reports without censorship and were able to report on what they found there. And so we've been talking about the government collusion, how the FBI, for example, went to Twitter, or the health department goes to Twitter, the government goes to Twitter, say, we don't want this particular bit of information out there on COVID, for example, or whatever it is, and Twitter obligingly said fine, and they took their marching orders from the U.S. government,
right?
Which was not healthy, and everybody's kind of up in arms. Well, we're only still finding out how deep the rabbit hole goes. I'm going to play you a little bit of it's a very short bit from Elon Musk, who was with Tucker Carlson, and Tucker asks him, what about our private messages? You know, if it's one thing when I put a tweet out there for the world to see, or right, somebody does, but if I want to talk to, send a private message, a direct message to somebody, it's like a text, or I mean, it's right, like a text or an email to somebody. Listen to, I think it's cut six.
The degree to which various government agencies had effectively had full access to everything that was going on Twitter blew my mind. I was not aware of that.
Would that include people's DMs?
Yes.
Direct messages. Do you think the government's not spying on you, Tim?
Well, I don't do direct messages, but I get the idea a lot of people do. What he's saying, Elon Musk there, and thankfully he bought, he spent billions of dollars to buy Twitter, a we'd have never known.
Yeah.
What was going, well, it always, we'd always been suspicious, conservatives were, but you would never have the proof that he was able to get by buying Twitter, that they colluded, Twitter did. You may not use Twitter, folks, but it has a big influence on the culture. Okay, news and information and tidbits and breaking news and all those things. A lot of that spread first and foremost by Twitter. And he, Elon Musk, bought it, and then it was able. Then we learned that that Twitter was colluding with the Democrats, basically. It was and the CDC and FBI. The FBI was communicating with Twitter, saying, telling Twitter, hey, you might want to look at these particular people because they may be violating your terms of agreement. That's the way the FBI did it.
Right.
And it was, and one of them was this agent out in San Francisco. I forgot the fella's name. But anyway, it was, and then Twitter also banned the Hunter Biden laptop story,
right,
that the New York Post broke. They colluded with the Biden campaign to prevent that from getting much public play, which helped Biden beat Trump.
And for what it's worth,
and this is what Elon Musk, who's neither a Republican or a Democrat, as I understand it, he's voted mostly Democrat. That's what he's found out.
Right. And for what it's worth, we're finding in those Twitter files it wasn't just Twitter, because Facebook is implicated in several of the
So Donald Trump was right all along about the spying on the part of the government, the collusion, and the Democrats constantly accused him of colluding with the Russians, okay, when all along it was the Democrats, and it seems like a good portion of the intelligence agencies colluding with private big social businesses. Do we know, by the way, whether or not Twitter voluntarily gave the government access to direct messages, or was
what
the government
for those who
them?
Don't know, what are direct messages?
If I go on Twitter and I am following somebody, somebody's following me, I have the ability through Twitter to send them a message that's just from me to them. Nobody else sees it.
Okay. Thus the term direct message.
Direct message.
And what Elon Musk there is saying, no, the federal government has those too.
They were able to
see
those
What's
two.
Supposed to be a private message is not private. It's what he's saying. That's what he discovered, right?
And so what would the and to your question, Ed, I don't know. I haven't been able to. I did take a look for that. I can tell you this. If the government asked for it, Twitter put up no resistance to it.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the same. Twitter has on their has had during all this, what we talked about the last couple, 3 years, has had many people on their staff who left the federal government.
Yeah.
Lawyers and such. It's a lot of crossover there at the top levels.
Well, and our listeners should know, if they don't already, if you sign on and use Facebook or Twitter, anything you post doesn't belong to you. So if you say to Twitter, why are you giving my direct messages to the government? That's illegal. No, we own it. So the photos you upload to Facebook, you don't own those. All right. You may have a copy of it, but I'm saying Facebook can do whatever they want with that material.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes. If you upload a photo,
you consent
to their use of it, and you no longer have sole use of that photograph.
Hmm.
That's why when someone gets arrested for some crime, they'll oftentimes release a Facebook profile photo to the media, and you go, well, what right do they have to use my photo? Well, no, they have the right to use it. So, folks, you give away an awful lot of autonomy when you use social media. I'm not sure what the options are. I guess you go with maybe smaller social media outlets that protect your privacy a little bit more, but all those photos you posted, you now share them.
The internet is forever, and even I will tell you that even newer platforms like Tumblr and Getter and all those things that are conservative based and promise not to do this, yes, they have promised, and I for all intents and purposes, as far as I know, they're not doing it, but they still have your photo.
Yes.
You're still giving them your photo. And for that part, broadcasting it out to the world. So, I mean, I don't know what difference it makes if Twitter has it, if you're posting a picture. Now, direct messages.
Well,
not
if they issue a new set of guidelines for your usage, and you get this, and in order to continue using the app, you got to scroll all the way down to the bottom and you got to click, I agree.
Right.
Who reads that? Who reads that page after page after page, scrolling up and up of all that legalese? Nobody does. Everyone clicks, I agree. Well, do you know what you just agreed to?
Right.
So.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
You guys mentioned our president. You know, he was in Ireland over the weekend?
Ireland, you say?
Ireland, I do. And he took his son Hunter with him. That was a brave choice, I would say. And but I want to hear you. This was part of his speech to the governing body, the Parliament of Ireland, when he was saying goodbye to them and thanking them. Listen to cut 9.
There's nothing our nations can't achieve if we do it together. I really mean it. So thank you all. God bless you all. Let's go lick the world. Let's get it done.
I'm sorry.
Let's go lick the world.
Let's go lick the world.
Did he have an ice cream in his hand?
Oh, maybe. No, he didn't.
It was on his mind.
It was on his mind.
I think so.
Let's go lick the world.
What did he mean by that? Poor fella. He does this every day now. Huh?
Yeah, usually you can tell what he meant to say. But on that one, I'm not sure. What was he saying? Let's go lick the
Ireland
world together.
Ireland and the United States are going to defeat the rest of the world. I don't know if there's an armed conflict
coming. Lick the world
coming?
Together. Well, that's just...
What did he mean?
You're asking me to get into his head?
Yeah.
And it's scary
and you don't
in
want
there?
To?
I don't want to, Tim. I don't know if there's a way out. Well, listen. Again, we always say we're not making fun of the condition. We're making fun of the politician who shouldn't be there with that condition.
Right.
Well, how's that?
Well said. All right. We have been talking about the transgender movement, and it's a fairly serious issue with us because it's denying reality. It's harming kids. But I got to tell you, sometimes conservatives kind of have their fun with it, and I want to listen. This is a guy who walks into a vet clinic with a dog that he has put a pink tutu on.
So this is an Irishman American walk into a vet clinic?
Yeah, it's something not a like joke? That, an Irish okay. dog. Yeah. So anyway, listen to cut eight. This is...
We want to do like a gender transition to the main female. But we don't want to neuter him.
I'm sorry, special. I don't authorize you to be recording.
So no, we're just filming a documentary for his transition.
You guys don't offer sex changes yet?
Those are
something
special.
It's
very transphobic.
What do
you
mean?
Let me explain to you. So basically, like,
right?
It's a male dog.
But every time if we put a tutu in front of him, he'll put it on right away.
We're not a behavioral clinic.
Yeah.
We are a general clinic.
Well, I wouldn't call that behavior. Okay. You're saying gender identity is behavioralism?
No.
I want you to leave. This is my property. I want to leave the premises. Okay. I'm going to show you for trespassing if you continue staying. Go ahead and start recording.
We can't do a gender transition.
I'm just telling you, you got to leave the property.
I'm reporting this to the LGBTQ plus minus two.
Where did you like it?
It's hard to hear, but the guy.
So he walks in and he wants his dog changed over from a male to a female,
yes.
Right? He wants to transition the dog.
And he's taping it because he's doing a documentary of it.
Yeah, but he's punking him.
Right.
Are you sure he's punking him?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So the vet's office, I guess whoever's at the front desk says, we ain't doing that.
The vet was there, too. He came out. But, yeah.
Was that the vet?
The second. There was two. There was a lady that was the receptionist.
The vet said, we're not doing it. You report
get out
anybody
of my,
you want to.
Get out of my clinic. I'm going to report you to the LGBTQ plus minus two society.
Community.
Yeah. He was.
How do you know he was punking them?
Because he came in with a dog with a tutu, and he told them that he was going to report them to the
right.
LGBTQ
he said the dog
plus my tutu.
No, listen, I have to have more
proof
than
that. Trust me, Ed. He was punking him.
there are some whacked out people out there.
He said the dog. He gets out the pink tutu, and the dog wants to put it on.
Puts it on right away.
I don't know how a dog puts on a tutu. You? I got to see this.
Same way a two-year-old puts on a dress. Boy puts on a dress. Parents.
Yeah, pressure. But.
I'm just saying this world has gone off the deep end, and I, 10 years
you're
ago.
You're not joining in.
I would have said that's probably someone punking him, but now I'm going, I don't know. Maybe this guy wants his dog to be trans just like he is.
Yeah.
I think we need to stop this show right here.
Let's do that.
I'm good. I'm good with that.
We're out, people. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.
I identify as someone who's not on the program in about 30 seconds.